Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Carlos Ortiz alongside. It's good to be with you here tonight. The phone number, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We're on social media. Carlos is Carlos with a K. You type out the name Carlos with the C, and then you put with the K. Carlos, C-A-R-L-O-S, and then W-I-T-H-A-K. It's always good to have a handle that's needing to be explained.
Yep.
Like, it's good when you have to explain a joke. That's how you know it's funny. When you have a handle that you need to explain how you put it up. Just be Carlos Ortiz 69 or something.
My favorite number.
Nice. I'm Bart Winkler or Bart Winkler Show, whatever was available. There are other Bart Winklers in the world. I'm not sure if they're down with me, Bart Winkler, taking up some of the Google search engine optimization. But there's some other ones that are poking through. I think there's a guy that is like a lawyer somewhere, and there's a realtor guy, and you know, there's a couple of us floating around this world. Maybe I'll have a Bart Winkler party at some point, like they do, like Josh meetups or Kyle meetups. They say, everybody whose name is Kyle, come to the park. And then they do. They had a big, was that Ryan at a big festival, Orion's? I could do that. That's stupid. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Lots going on. We'll continue to talk about the NBA Finals. The Pacers, I mean, just incredible what they did. Did anybody watch it? That's the question. We'll have a ratings discussion tonight. And hockey ratings-wise, also, there's something else that they got to make sure that they beat. This Women's College World Series is like, they're doing like the same numbers. So let's not pile on these sports. Like I said, this is a no NHL versus NBA zone. We do not trash the other to build the other one up. We do not do that, not here, not on this show. By the way, the Stanley Cup is underway, game two, and it is a back-and-forth scoring party, 4-3 right now in favor of Florida. So Florida with a lead. With 2 minutes to go in the second period, they put in two in the net this period. It was 3-2 after one, so back and forth. Obviously, Florida trying to get one on road ice before they go back to the States to complete the next few games of this series. So we'll see if Edmonton's fans can help rally yet another comeback that they would have to put on in this series and in this game. I am trying to, and I want to talk some more hockey, and we'll talk some more basketball, and we'll talk some more NFL. I want to get into some NFL stuff. We'll talk some more New York Knicks, because that's the story that can't and will not go away. I am trying to figure out what's going on in college right now, all college, not just football, basketball, men's and women's, and the whole thing. Because the antitrust lawsuit, this thing where the NCAA essentially is trying to allow their schools to pay athletes, has passed, and schools will start to now be able to pay athletes directly. So this went through about 30 minutes ago, and I'm trying to, like, cram about it as if I'm preparing for a test that I forgot to study for so that I can understand it myself and that I can pass it along to you in a somewhat digestible way. So basically, there's been a couple of different eras of the NCAA and athletes in terms of money. For about, oh, I don't know, forever, people were not able to take money from colleges, from schools, from anybody. And then some people figured out that if we don't tell anyone, maybe we can indirectly pay these people. You want to come to this school? We can't pay you. We can't offer you anything. We can just only recruit based on the merits of our program and what it might do for you. But your mom would look nice in a new car. And wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to pay for any meals accidentally while you were in college? And so on and so forth. The NCAA has tried to clamp down on that, I should say, and I will say, anywhere that they can, scolding people just for offering recruits a cheeseburger. And a lot of times that this happens, it's found out about, things get vacated. Oh, you took this, oh, you took that. We got to vacate your title. We got to vacate your Heisman. We got to vacate whatever. But for every one of those, there are hundreds and thousands of other stories that go underreported. We might find out about the big stars that maybe were given some money, but also there's a lot of these guys that it's down between two schools. Boy, I really need help deciding. Okay, shake your hand, coach, or whoever. I'm not alleging anybody of wrongdoing, but I am alleging everybody of wrongdoing. Little handshake with a couple of hundies there, changing possession. So there was that era of the NCAA. The next era is these athletes should get paid something if we are profiting off of them. So how do we figure that out? Well, let's allow these kids to use their exposure, and we'll say that they can profit off their name, their image, and their likeness. So if we slap your name on the back of a jersey and we sell it at the university bookstore, you should get a cut of that. If we want to use you in a video game, we should be able to put your name in if you agree, and you'll get a check for that. It's your likeness. We are using you. And in the past, we just used like running back Wisconsin, but okay, this is Ron Dayne. It's the height, it's the weight, it's the jersey number, it's his hometown, it's everything but his name, and you can't use him. And also, you know what? Because you have this platform, why don't you try to use it for advertising if you want? You could be a spokesman for the different car dealerships down the street, right? We always think of that one, especially like Friday Night Lights style. What was that guy's name? Buddy something? We try to give you deals. I remember that third string tight end from Kansas had a touchdown at one point. And Buddy Garrity, thank you. And I said thank you to myself because I looked it up. But then he got like a deal with Applebee's or Buffalo Wild Wings or something. You know, he had a good moment, and then you got to make a little coin off of it too. Hey, Instagram, let's sell you some shorts or this line of water we sell or anything. And then you can make money off of it. That, I think, was a fantastic idea. If the university was going to make money off of you, you should be able to make some money. And likewise, because you have a little bit of a platform, you should be able to essentially be an influencer, is the word now. It used to be pitchman or spokesperson, but now it's become influencer anytime that you influence people to buy anything. So there was that era. The problem with that era is that there were no parameters around it, no guardrails around anything. And then what happened was people just said, so these guys are going to come here and we can pay them. Well, what if this company or this booster or this collective, what if we just find a way to get, if we can get $3 million of this kid, I mean, we can just call it NIL. He doesn't have to promote anything. He just has to come be our quarterback. And then we pay him. And it's allowed. So he'll come to a school, and then he'll come to a school because of the money that he's getting to go to that school. But never has the school itself had to or been able to directly pay athletes. And while they're able to make money from other resources, like video games using them and, you know, jersey sales or whatever, the TV contracts are big, huge. And players have not been getting a cut of that. Essentially, where we're at in college sports is because of TV. Where we're at right now, the landscape we're at right now, is because of TV. Because TV is not a thing that anybody watches live anymore, except for big events. And a lot of the big live events are what? Maybe a political thing, maybe a trial you get swept up in, maybe an award show. Otherwise, it's sports. Sports is the thing that we watch live, if anything. And because of that, rights fees for these sports have gone astronomically high, including college sports. And players have just been like, I mean, imagine you are an actor and you're on a show and you're not getting paid. Or you're on a reality show and you get nothing. These people are, they are the stars of the show and they're getting nothing. Which is why, quick tangent, remember the COVID year where there were no fans in the stands and it hurt broadcast? And then we're the idiots that pay to be a part of those broadcasts. Hey, I think these leagues should be paying us. Okay, you know, the crowd show, we should get some money too. The whole model of having to pay, and then we're on TV. I mean, I don't know. Still workshopping that one. But we are now in a revenue-sharing era of college sports. So beginning on July 1st, schools will be able to share $20.5 million with athletes. Football programs are expected to get 75% of that. A lot of this is driven by football. You can't deny it. The whole reason there's realignment in college is because Fox is in with the Big Ten and ESPN's with the SEC, and everybody else has been moving around for scraps. But TV has definitely been the reason that Oklahoma is in the SEC and Washington is in the Big Ten. There's no way around it. That's the truth. So football has been the driver. They're moving because of football. They're moving. They're not moving because of basketball. Basketball's in like, oh, I guess UCLA is to go play at Northwestern and then Penn State on a road trip for conference play. Oh, that makes sense. So football's getting 75% of that 20-some million. Men's basketball attributes for 15%. Women's basketball gets 5%. And all the other sports are going to get about 5% too. So if you're a Power 4 football program, you've got about $13 to $16 million to spend on your roster coming up for this season, in addition to all the NIL nonsense that can go on. Now, there's going to be regulations on that. The settlement imposes new restrictions on college sports. An NIL clearinghouse will be established titled NIL Go. All third-party NIL deals of $600 or more must be approved by the clearinghouse. If not approved, the settlement says a new third-party arbiter could deem athletes ineligible or result in a school being fined. In a gathering at ACC spring meetings last week, officials shared that 70% of past NIL collectives would have been denied, while 90% of past deals from public companies would have been approved. So things just need to be a little bit on the up and up, is essentially what that says. And now if you're a college athlete and you're like, oh man, that sucks. I just got done playing and I got no money. There has been a 10-year settlement agreement that includes $2.7 billion in back damages. So if you've played in the last 10 years, you are going to get some money for playing over the last 10 years. How much money will be determined using a formula based on your value. Also, as a part of this, there will be roster limits. Football, the roster limit is 105. It was 85. Basketball is 15. I believe it was 13. So there are a lot of different changes that will happen. So, three main parts of this, to put it simply. Money that athletes get now in college can come directly from the schools. $2.8 billion in back pay to former athletes. $20 billion plus in revenue share to future athletes. And there are new roster rules as well as a new NIL enforcing agency. And that was settled upon after 5 years of legislation and debate earlier tonight. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see what it means. We'll see what schools can keep up. We'll see what schools can't. We'll see if this evens the playing field. We'll see if this makes the playing field harder. We'll see if it's hard for some of these schools to stay in the power conferences. We'll see if there's any more realignment to come. But more money is going to be flowing into the pockets of student athletes. And I don't know when, but even like 15 years ago, you'd say, student, remember, student athlete. We're getting a far way from that. I mean, they do put a lot of hours in, and it's just like having a job. I mean, there's plenty of people that go to school and then have a job. So it is a time-consuming hobby. But you start to make enough money, and it's like, well, what am I doing actually going to class for? I can do that later. Or, in some cases, maybe not at all. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Everybody's favorite topic, TV ratings. College ratings are good. That's why there's money being pumped in. Should we be worried about the NBA and or NHL ratings? Some fact and figures regarding there. And why I think the NBA is suffering. It has nothing to do with the teams that are in it. It could be Boston and Los Angeles. They would have the same problem. We'll talk about that coming up. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. My son has retained zero Spanish, I should say now, after a year of being outside of the immersion daycare. Just regular old howdy folks, what's hanging English. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, alongside Carlos Ortiz.
Hola.
As per usual. That means hello.
Sure does.
Yeah. Marco Belletti coming up here. When's this music going to stop?
It's fading out literally right now. You can't hear anything.
Well, there was a pause in it, and then I didn't know if it was abruptly done, and then it started, like, trickling in again.
Yeah, those type of tracks tend to do that.
Look, I just know my good old country and my folk songs, and that's all I speak to.
Yeah, you're definitely not cool. And I like that stuff, too, but this weekend is a big Puerto Rican weekend. The Puerto Rican Day National Parade will be in New York on Sunday, so of course, I'm one of those guys that has the flag on the car. I've been blasting the music. Oh. I'm going to have some pork chops and rice and beans tomorrow. Maybe a little tostone action. When I say maybe, probably. When I say probably, I mean definitely.
That's a episode of Seinfeld I like, but they don't air it anymore because they step on the Puerto Rican flag, and when it's on fire, Kramer stomps on it.
Ah, wow. I don't even know that episode. I got to see it.
It was the second last episode of the show ever. It was the second last episode. They weren't in Jerry's apartment at all. Only one of like two or three times that happened. And then they took it off. They don't rerun it anymore, I don't think.
Well, I can get why that would be offensive to people. But, you know, like, I understand that there has to be some kind of setup in order for the flag to be on fire and how it would look to outsiders that Kramer's stepping on it. Like, I get the joke. We need to stop being so sensitive.
It's also a big weekend in my hometown. It's Walleye Weekend.
I need these hills.
Basically, there's a fishing tournament, and then everybody goes down to the park and gets bombed.
So almost the same thing, but completely the opposite of reason of why we're all getting together.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. The town I grew up is like 45,000 people, and it's not like a suburb of anything, so it's just kind of its own little dot. And you could bounce around for a whole year, and you'd see pretty much everybody in the whole town. But then this weekend at the park, people that you never even knew existed. I don't know where they crawled out of, but it was unbelievable. The types of people that you saw at this thing. So won't be able to get back for that, though. Always a bummer when I can't partake in a walleye weekend. The NBA Finals continue this weekend. That'll be on Sunday night for Game 2.
What a segue.
Now, we'll talk more about the Pacers and just how much they have the magic of Satan at their side. Or explain it another way.
Mephisto.
Yeah. Explain it another way, because I don't know what's happening here. But does anybody care? Did anybody watch it? You were waiting for this story. Game 1 of the Pacers-Thunder NBA Finals average a 4.7 rating and 8.91 million viewers on ABC, making it the lowest rated and least watched finals opener since Nielsen tracking began in 1988. Excluding the COVID-impacted 2020 and 2021 series, in which one finals was held, I believe, in October. And then in 2021, it was held in July. So outside of the years that things got shifted, this the lowest game one since 1988. Now, the NBA PR has been in overdrive, and they've been activated. They tell you the following. Indiana's Game 1 victory over Oklahoma City in the NBA Finals on ABC peaked with 11 million viewers at the end of the fourth quarter when Halliburton hit the game winner. Game 1 averaged nearly three times more viewers than the next most watched program on any other network that night. Nearly half of all 18 to 34-year-olds who were watching TV last night were watching the finals. Don't know how they figured that out. And Game 1 generated more than 500 million views on social media, an all-time record. Now, if you're thinking, ha-ha, NBA ratings are bad, that's why you like hockey. Okay, hockey's not doing much better. The Stanley Cup Game 1, and it's on TNT, so the last few years' series when they've been on ABC average about 4 million. On TNT, on cable, it's only about 2.5. The other night, it was 2.4 million. Now, here's what's interesting. It was barely the highest rated sports program that night because the Women's College World Series, 2.1 million viewers. 2.4 for the Stanley Cup, 2.1 for the College World Series in softball. And that's going on right now. And again, with college basketball or college baseball and college softball. Texas won the series. They won tonight. They won 10-4. They won. They won the series. They won the Women's College World Championship. I can say that the right way. The Women's College World Series Championship Finals. They won. Congrats. Texas won. But when you go online, whether it's tonight or the other night, I see a lot more social media excitement about that series than I have the NHL so far. Now, I do think in time, as the series continues, one of the things that's working against the TV ratings in America, they're fine in Canada. In America, there's been more Canadian teams, so there's less markets that might be interested. That always happens. And I think in the NBA, as this series continues, more people will start to get drawn in. I think a lot of people that did not watch the series last night or even turned it on for a little bit, the amount of people that were tripping over themselves to say, well, this series is over in the third quarter was ridiculous, as if we haven't seen the Pacers do what they did three previous times. For anyone to think that game or the series was over is fooling themselves. I don't know why you would rush to explain that or claim that. But with that Halliburton shot and with the word of mouth and people being like, okay, well, now I maybe got to see game 2. It's on a Sunday night. I think, you know, ratings will only improve. And if this series does go deep, well, then I think the ratings will be just fine. But that's why we talked about with small market and whatever. But it's not the small market that's killing the NBA Finals. It's not that. It's not that. It's the presentation. The presentation of the NBA Finals is absolutely gross. It's not good. It doesn't look any different from any other broadcast that you see in a regular season. The word finals is in the bottom corner of the score bug, but you could see the YouTube TV logo five different times on the court and the backdrop, and you can barely see the finals anywhere. They used to have a logo in the center court and finals script, which then they changed the script to some stupid block logo, but they used to have that on the court. They pulled that, the NBA told Front Office Sports, because of player safety. They're saying players were slipping on it, even though there's other logos on the court all the time, including other sponsor logos. And not sure, have you seen the courts for the NBA Cup? The NBA Cup is different than the regular season, although it's the same, but also different. But the commissioner and the league are at least like, hey, we want to present this different. We want people in December or November, when they turn on an NBA game, we want them to visually see right away that there's something different about this game than other games in the regular season. We want them to know that just based on vision and aesthetics. But then, come the NBA Finals, you turn on that game, it looks no different than any other game that ABC or ESPN would air. And I blame both. I blame the NBA, and I blame, I certainly blame ABC and ESPN. You know, the Stanley Cup, you watch it, they're doing starting lineups, they're doing the national anthem, and it's not like I'm somebody who needs to see the national anthem or needs to see the starting lineups, but let's air those things and create the moment. If you're in those buildings, you're seeing all this, the moment's rising, you're waiting. If you're on TV, it's just four people sitting at a desk in the top section. You can kind of see the background. You can kind of see the floor, and then they just, okay, tip off. You need to build it up a little bit. I don't need 8 hours of pregame like the Super Bowl, but I do need some sort of like, dun, 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 here's the finals. This is different and important. You don't get any of that. Even the buildup to it. Now, granted, Tom Thibodeau gets fired and any finals previews is thrown out the window because everyone's talking about the New York Knicks. But all the hype leading up to the finals was about the small market aspect. Even Adam Silver's on TV talking about this. It's your fault. It's your fault. You need to make the NBA finals feel like a bigger deal. You need to do that. You need to find a way, if it's working with your TV partners, if it's having some sort of, you know, media night or like red carpet event the day before when they show up at practice, if it's putting people on TV shows or something, you need to do something because there is no hype for it. The NFL didn't think there was enough hype between championship weekend and the Super Bowl. So they're like, you know what? Let's add an extra week in there, make people wait, and get excited for it. And it will really feel like, okay, this is the championship. This is the final game of our season. The NBA does not feel like that at all. And I think the NBA is complicit to that because they don't do anything to make it seem bigger. And I also think the broadcast, it's very poor compared to what a finals should look like. Now, if you think NBC is coming to save you because they're the new rights holder and apparently it's going to feel like the 1990s again, that's what we all want, they'll have a conference finals, but they're essentially taking over the TNT role. Maybe it's just an ESPN thing, but the games, I mean, they're getting a Super Bowl soon, so hopefully they don't neuter that also. But the NBA finals just lack the aura, is the word that they have previously. And again, you watch that game, and I don't think it has anything to do with Oklahoma City and Indiana. I really don't think it does. Oklahoma City was the best team all season. Indiana is a story that is legendary about what they've been able to accomplish, these four comebacks, for those four comebacks to all happen the way they did, having all of them happen, one in 75 million chance of that happening. So I blame the NBA and I blame ABC and ESPN, because if you want people to tune into the finals, you got to make it feel like a finals. And it's been a long time, I think, since it's felt like a finals. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. A few months ago, I took a look at eight teams that I disqualified already from the NFL postseason in 2025. This was prior to free agency. This was prior to the draft. This was like the week after the Super Bowl. So I want to look at those eight teams, because one of those teams that I disqualified, they just signed a quarterback this week. So got to revisit that coming up. The Stanley Cup game is now in the third period, so we'll discuss that a little bit as well. And we'll hear from you, Bulletin Blitz, coming up next. Right now, let's get an update. Here is Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Tatum, two dribbles to the right, hangs in the air, runs it off the window and in.
The biggest voices in sports.
Towns fires away.
Bang! Carl Anthony Towns from downtown.
The heartbreak.
Grabbing his left knee. He's in some severe pain.
The celebrations.
But it's no longer what could be or what might be. Now it just is. The 2024 Boston Celtics are one of the greatest teams in NBA history.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right, disembodied voice. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. All your favorite affiliates, SiriusXM 375, the Odyssey app, podcasts, everywhere you find them. If you can
stretch
hear me,
out that intro, baby.
That's right. If you can hear me, you're in the right place. It is Friday, June 6, 2025. Got to stretch that intro. But even though we're chock full of Bulletin Blitz goodness, it's our audio segment of the day. And we go back to last night. Stop me if you heard this before. But Tyrese Halliburton nails another last-second shot.
Oh, I've heard that before.
To lift the Pacers to a 111-110 win over the Thunder to take Game 1 of the NBA Finals in Oklahoma City. Now, Halliburton didn't exactly have an impressive stat line. He only finished with 14 points. But he made the game-winning basket with 0.3 seconds left. That's the only time the Pacers led all freaking game. They can't keep getting away with this! Let's go to Tyrese Halliburton and SGA. Halliburton said he felt confident in the game winner, and SGA was trying to process what was going on as it happened.
I'm obviously confident in my ability, and feel like if I can get to, you know, that spot, I feel very comfortable in there. Just, you know, it's a shot I've worked on a million times, and I'll work on a million times more. So we just have confidence in that shot.
I don't know. It happened so fast. I feel like we got matched. He got down going right, pulled up from midi, and knocked down the shot. I don't know. It didn't feel like anything crazy. He just made a play with the time winding down. Made a good play.
If you look at the picture of when Halliburton is releasing the ball and zoom in on it, every face in that crowd knows that ball is going to go through that hoop. And you had to see it coming. I mean, again, there were a lot of people that three quarters in were exclaiming that not only was this finals over, but the Thunder were going to start a dynasty. They didn't even win the game. And yeah, the Pacers only led for 0.3 seconds. But they led in the final 0.3 seconds. This is what they do. This is no longer a fluke. Remember how I talked about the Kansas City Chiefs? How luck was on their side? So much that, you know what, maybe they figured something out. Maybe Indiana figured something out. Maybe they figured out that once they're down 15, that's when they go. And it's not just that shot. Nembhard hit one that was just stone cold in SGA's face. Turner's going off the glass. Neesmith hit the stone cold one. Nembhard hit another one. They're all hitting their threes. And none of these, if any of these threes miss, they lose. But they make them all the time. It's very frustrating to watch.
Very frustrating indeed. Game two will be on Sunday. If the Thunder do not get this win, I was going to say eat a hat or something. I'll think of something. We'll discuss over the weekend. Thunder in five.
Why offer up anything when nothing's going to happen the other way?
Sure, I guess. I just really want to bet against the Pacers to try to counteract that Hickey hack.
I'm not betting against them ever again.
Well, here's head coach Rick Carlisle says they're not getting too excited over the win. And head coach Mark Daigneault for the Thunder says they've bounced back all year.
We haven't been celebrating a whole lot with anything, really. And that's, you know, some of that is our experience last year. Some of it is Pascal having been through, you know, this kind of a run and getting to the finals before.
A lot more games left in the series, you know, so we understand that. We got to get ourselves to zero, as we always do. That's a habit that hopefully we've formed. These guys have made a habit of being able to get ourselves centered and play our best game in the next game.
They're in familiar positions because the Pacers have won a game like this now in every series. And the Thunder, while they had a relatively quick time against the Timberwolves and swept the Grizzlies, they're no strangers to giving away a game one at home that they should have won. That was in the series against Denver. Now, that ended up going seven. And I think maybe that is what we're going to be more in store for here, because the thing with the Pacers is, you don't have this run and win like that four times and then not, like, how do they not win the title? How do you have this storybook run and then take second place? But both teams in a familiar setting, and we'll see if the Thunder are able to draw deep and use that coming up in game two in the rest of this series.
Yeah, we shall see. I'll be looking forward to that game, if I can remember it. A lot of day drink to come on Sunday. Let's go to the NBA commissioner.
Nice.
Adam Silver. He spoke a couple times, a couple of various different platforms. But here is one of the quotes I wanted to set aside, because it looks like he's walking back a little bit of his parody.
Thunder, by the way, are an 11.5-point favorite.
That's insane. I'll take the Pacers and the points. Adam Silver defines what he means by wanting parity in the league. Again, he's walking back a little bit of some of his bluster from earlier in the week.
The goal isn't necessarily to have a different champion every year. It's to have, you know, as we've said before, parity of opportunity. And, you know, hats off to Oklahoma City and Indianapolis, two incredibly well-run franchises, top to bottom, that deserve to be here. So if they, whichever team were to win, if they were to repeat, I wouldn't then be saying this therefore isn't working because I didn't go to a different city to hand out the trophy. I'd be saying that's the system we wanted to create, as long as there's a level playing field.
And I get that, and I'm fine with that. The problem is, if you're good, the system and the salary cap and the new collective bargaining agreement punishes you for being good. You only get a finite window before the salaries explode and you can't really do anything. The Thunder might be in a different situation because they've got so many picks that maybe they can maneuver around or at least bolster their lineup year in and year out. But there's a lot of teams with their backs against the wall that you want a Denver to compete. You want a Milwaukee to compete. You want a Cleveland to compete. And they compete. They have a couple years and then they're screwed. So he's got like half of the equation right, and then the other's kind of counterintuitive to the first half.
Yeah, let's continue on with Adam Silver here, because another topic that was broached as he was speaking was this prospect of NBA expansion. Here's the commissioner of the NBA and his thoughts on that.
We have a owner's meeting in July in Las Vegas, and it will be on the agenda to take the temperature of the room. We have committees that are already talking about it. But my sense is, at that meeting, they're going to give direction to me and my colleagues at the league office that we should continue to explore it. What also comes to mind in terms of expansion is the opportunity potentially to create other competition around the world. And we have been discussing potentially creating a league in Europe. And I view that as a form of expansion as well.
I would just focus on the main thing. Let's keep the main thing, right?
Nice.
I would focus on that. they are going to expand. At some point, they are going to expand, and it's going to be Las Vegas, and it's going to be Seattle. They've been talking about this for a long time. There'd be a lot less animosity to the Thunder if the Supersonics existed again. Because, like I said with the Ravens, the Browns were back 3 years later, and Cleveland may be still mad, but nobody, I don't think people really remember that. You just kind of memory hold it that the Browns have existed all that time, maybe took a year off for reasons that you don't know, but they're going to expand at some point. I don't know why they're dragging their feet. If you're going to expand, expand. You don't have a retort?
No, I like everything you said.
All right. Well, then I'm going to talk some NFL coming up here. And Aaron Rodgers will be another conversation that we have next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.